Wednesday night is one of my favorite church services. A lot of people make a big deal out of Sunday morning, but Wednesday night's when the core of the church gets together. It's when the people who are the most devoted come to church. It's generally we can get into some stronger meat on Wednesday nights than we do on Sunday mornings. We get in stronger meat on Sunday nights than we do Sunday mornings, and even stronger than that Wednesday night. However, I'm very superficial, so I'm going to give you something tonight that you may have heard before. I hope you've read this chapter before, and let me get this thing unlocked and we'll get into it. Take your Bibles and let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, this was born years ago. I was teaching a new believer Sunday school class, and we were going over the fruit of the Spirit. And we were talking about how Galatians chapter 5 says the greatest of these is love. And we had a young Christian in here that was in the class that was full of zeal and stuff like that. And he'd gotten just a little bit of docs material to be enough to be dangerous at the time. And can I say this? You read Peter Ruckman's material, and if you don't read it thoroughly, you will have just enough to be dangerous, and you'll be a real, can I say butthead from the pulpit on a Wednesday night? Is that safe? You'll be a butthead. That's not a biblical word, but it's the truth. And that's what this kid was. And he said, I don't like that love stuff. I said, Paul apparently did, because he said the greatest of these is charity in 1 Corinthians 13. The first love fruit of the Spirit was the first fruit that was mentioned, the first part of the fruit that was mentioned. So if you don't like love, then you are against the Bible. You're against the Bible. Now, charity, which is what this chapter is about, one of the meanings of charity, and I looked it up in Webster's 1828. If you don't have one, you would do better to have that than you would probably any other reference material if you just had to pick one. And I looked it up in 1828, and charity means this, the supreme love to God, which translates to love for the brethren. The supreme love for God, which translates to love for the brethren. Now, there's other things about charity. We see about giving to charities, and we have charity on people that are down and out and things like that. But I believe this, when 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about love, that this is probably what Paul is talking about. Now, let me give you a quick side note about this. I got curious when I was putting this thing together, and I don't recommend you do this. You don't need Greek to understand English. Matter of fact, let me say this. If you've ever been told that you need Greek to understand English, Greek is actually an inferior language to English. So in most situations, no, I'm sorry. In all situations, your English, King James Bible, will clarify any Greek that there is. But I got curious, and I went to Mr. Strong. Now, we know if you're any student of textual criticism and stuff like that, and manuscript evidence, we know Mr. Strong used the wrong text when he compiled his concordance that all the pastors and stuff want to go to and rattle off a Greek word and say, well, this is what this means. And so they go to the corrupt Strong's concordance text and they say, well, this word really was this. You know what the word in Strong's concordance was for charity in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1? It was the Greek word agape. Now, what are these guys that want to argue Greek with you, and I'm kind of on a rabbit trail. We'll move pretty quick, I promise, after this. But I want to show you something. These guys that want to argue that you need the Greek to understand the English, the first thing they will pull out of their hat is, well, you need to know the difference between agape love and phileo love. Has anybody ever heard that argument before? Okay, well, let me just say this. In the English King James, the word in 1 Corinthians 13 that's translated from this word agape is translated into the word charity. Okay? Charity. You know what all the other new Bibles say? Love. Charity is a stronger connotation of love than just love itself. You don't need the Greek to prove the English. All you need is the English. It is superior. So if you get one of those guys that want to argue about our agape and phileo, you just pull out and start arguing about charity versus love. And it'll eat their lunch. I've done it with a guy. So anyway, let's get into this chapter for just a few minutes here. It's a great chapter of the scripture. And I believe this, it tells us how we need to deal with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. A lot of our fellow brothers and sisters, let's face it, if we get a self-righteous twinge about us, they get on our nerves. But they're not supposed to. They're not supposed to get on our nerves. Why? Because we're supposed to have the kind of love that's charitable love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. It says this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. A tingling cymbal. Say, what's that all about? Sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You ever heard somebody that just doesn't know how to play an instrument? If I asked Brother Ken right now to go up and play us a song on the piano, I guarantee you within about 3 minutes, you would beg him to stop. Yeah, right. It's a good scare tactic. So why is it Brother Ken doesn't know how to play a piano? At least not that I know of, unless he's hiding some talent from us. And what that is, that's a person who doesn't know how to play their instrument. And that's what a Christian that doesn't have charity is. It's basically like a person that doesn't know how to play the instrument that they're trying to play. You ever heard of kids banging on a piano or something like that? It's a pet peeve. Or some of these people that get up and all they know how to play is heart and soul. Can you play a duet with me? No. I banned it from our house. People start playing at our house, I go over and turn the piano off. It's annoying. We say, what is that? That's a Christian without charity. That's a Christian without charity. And that's what Paul's comparing it to, is someone who doesn't know how to play their instrument but is banging away at it anyway. And it's going to be vexing to you, and it's going to hurt your ears, and it's going to disturb your personal quiet meditation. It says this, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. You remember what Jesus said about moving mountains? Nobody's got that much faith. Let me just pause and tell you a quick story. We're on the way to church tonight, and we're in the car, and Brother Mike and Miss Ruth had to run in for something. And Reese says to me, he says, Uncle Jesse, he said, you know, you don't have to be blind. I said, really? He said, no. He said, if you pray to God, he can, what did he say? He can take the blind away. He can take the blind away. Say, what is that? Now, I believe he can. But I think if I really had that kind of faith to believe he could, then maybe he would. Problem is, we don't have that kind of faith. We don't have mountain-moving faith. But Paul's saying here, if he had enough faith to move mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. I'm nothing. So you can have such great faith that you could pray and cast a mountain in the sea and have it happen. But if you don't have charity towards your brethren, if you don't have charity toward other Christians, and if you don't have charity, by the way, it's got to come from the Lord. It's got to come from the Lord. Verse number 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, that's works. That's good works. And though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Oh yeah, I'm going to get persecuted for the cause of Jesus Christ. But I hate my brother. Yeah. You know what the Lord says? You know what Paul says here under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost? Right. It means nothing. It means nothing. It does not mean a blessed thing. Your good works, they don't mean nothing. No. if you don't have charity towards your brothers and your sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me extend it, if you don't have charity to people that's lost and going to hell. Now watch this, it's gonna talk about what charity is here in the next couple of verses. And this is what it's all about. It's gonna talk what charity is. Charity suffereth long. So what's this long-suffering business? 70 times 7, forgive your brother, that's what the Lord said. People that transgress you, hey, that's hard. People do something against me, I wanna break their neck. But you know what the Lord said? You can't do that. And when I was younger, you can ask Pastor, he could tell you stories about plenty of times where I'd come home from church and I'd be like, oh, I can't stand that person. And he'd have to back me down and he had to say, they're growing. He still does sometimes. They're growing. They're still young in the Lord. Give them a chance. And Becky always used to tell me when we were younger, you're so critical. You're so critical. But you know what? I've seen them love people. I've seen them exercise charity toward people, and they're not bitter, they're not angry, and they just keep giving and giving and giving. Say, what is that? That's the long suffering of charity. People do you wrong, it's long suffering. Watch this, and is kind. Let me say this, we're sarcastic. I don't know what it is about us, we are sarcastic people. But do you realize we can hurt others with that sarcasm? Say, why is that? Because it's unkind. It's unkind. And I'm guilty of it. I'm a sarcastic person. I'm a sarcastic Italian from Connecticut. Okay, I got mafia in my blood. But you can hurt people with your sarcasm. You can kill them with kindness, but you kill them in a good way with kindness. But charity is kind. And kindness is an attribute that we should have in our Christian walk with the Lord. Watch this one. Charity envieth not. You know that envy? Jealousy is not always a sin, but envy is always a sin. God's a jealous God. But if you're envious of someone else or something else that someone has, that's a sin. That's not loving. You're not expressing charity when you're envious of something else. We've been to churches and stuff like that, and pastors always told me when I get dreamy after we leave, man, I wish we had that. I'm a little bit envious of that. He said, no, he said, just thank God for what they have, but thank God we're not in debt. So what is that? That's charity. It envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Now vaunteth, that word vaunted, that's an old word. You can get the definition from Webster. Vaunteth means it doesn't boast about itself. It doesn't boast about itself. A lot of times as Christians, we do try to brag on ourselves. We try to brag on the good things that we've done, the nice things that we've done for people, and the way we did them and stuff like that, or how many souls we've won to Christ and all those different things. Hey, listen, that vaunting stuff, that bragging stuff is not charitable, and it's wrong. It's wrong. But we're so guilty of wanting to impress others. We're so guilty of wanting to be the super Christian in the room that sometimes we just can't help it. Boy, social media has given bragging rights to a whole lot of preachers. On Sundays and stuff, you read their sermon outlines, and I preached this sermon, blah, 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 3, 4, 5 points, and 16 people walk the aisle for salvation. Well, praise God, Mr. Spiritual. My pastor preached good too, and he stomped on my toes, and I got right with the Lord. So you can brag all you want, but I think in the long run, maybe the guys that's not bragging about what they're doing is going to reap better rewards. It vaunteth not itself. You want to be charitable? Quit bragging on yourself. Quit trying to justify what you're doing. It's not, watch this, it's not puffed up. Knowledge puffeth up, the Bible says. Knowledge puffeth up. You know what? One of the worst things that could have happened to me is I fell in with my buddy Andrew Sluter. So why is that? He's a young guy. He's smart. He stands for the book. I've nothing bad to say about him, but he's a fighter. And if you read some of his stuff or watch some of his videos, he's a fighter. And what that does is it transfers on to me because I'm thinking, yeah, I got somebody in my corner. I'll fight with them. And you know what happens? You make enemies. You make enemies by doing that. There's people that you might convince to believe what you do, but because you're fighting, the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. But because you're busy fighting with them and you're busy defending your point of view. Now listen, I didn't say we weren't right. I believe in my heart of hearts that what we believe about that King James Bible is right. I believe it. But you don't have to kill someone with it. I've got, you know what, some of the people who were some of the most spiritual influences in my young Christian life read an NIV. I don't try to kill them with what I believe. I'm cheering them on. Now listen, if they ever ask me why I believe what I believe, they're not going to, because I believe somewhere deep down inside the Holy Ghost is saying he's right. You know he's right, don't you? If they ever ask me about what I believe, I'd be willing to show them why I believe what I believe. But I don't have to start fights. I don't have to start fights to prove what I believe. Knowledge puffeth up, the Bible says. And what we're dangerous, our crowd, the crowd that reads after people like Dr. Ruckman and Bill Grady and Sam Gipp and all these guys and Clarence Larkin and believes what they had to say, what we're guilty of is we get in this quest for knowledge and we get so much knowledge that we have no charity. And we're absolutely worthless. Absolutely. The Bible says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. And our balance is off when we have so much knowledge but no charity. You know what? We would go a lot further by taking a weaker brother out to dinner and just being their friend than we do beating them up over the head with how much Bible we know. Sometimes we try to witness and we try to throw every Bible verse we know at a person, an atheist or something like that, or someone who don't believe like we do. We throw all the Bible we know at them. We throw all the scientific knowledge we know at them. We throw all these things at them. When really what you need to do is just do like the Apostle Paul did and say, hey, let me tell you what happened to me. You know what pastor is always doing when he witnesses? He's always talking about what happened to him as an 18-year-old boy in that tent in Riverdale. Say, so why is that? Because it changed his life. You know what I do when I tell people about when I got saved? I tell people about the morning on my bedroom floor when I was a 15-year-old boy, October 10th, 1990. Because that day changed my life. The event changed my life. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. So, well, this sounds weak and watered down. Well, sometimes you need something weak and watered down. Because we get knowledge, 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 but it puffs you up and it puffs me up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. What's that? It's not unruly. Charity's not unruly. It goes back to the previous thing. It's kind, right? Watch this. Seeketh not her own. It's not an attention seeker. Is not easily provoked. Back to that long-suffering stuff. If you're charitable to people, you're not going to fly off the handle with them the first time they offend you. You'll probably just let it go and pray for them. And you know what I found out? I get more done on my knees praying for people than I do telling them off. Thinketh no evil? Wait. Let's talk about that for just a minute. Oh, how about this one? And I've been guilty of this. Oh, I know they're out there doing something wrong and living like the world, and they're going to come on Sunday to church and they're going to act all spiritual. Yeah, but what if they're not? What if I'm working myself up thinking evil of somebody that's not doing a thing in the world wrong, but they're just not doing what you expect them to be doing when you expect them to be doing it? Yeah, that's not charity. I've been guilty of it. I've been guilty of it. Man, people could be doing just fine, but because they didn't check in with headquarters, I thought they were out doing something they shouldn't have done. You know, a pastor has told me from day one, probably, he said, you always need to try to think the best of people. Be in restoration mode at all times. Always be ready to restore. Hey, as a young Christian, I didn't like that. I didn't like it, did I? He'll tell you. I don't want to restore them. Say, why is that? They hurt me. But you know what? If it's all about me, then it really doesn't matter because it's not about God. Amen. It's not about getting, hey, listen, no one's ever going to get right with God because they hurt you. They're going to get right with God when they realize they have disappointed a holy God. That's when they're going to get right. We got to take ourselves out of this thing, folks. We have to start acting more charitable toward people. Watch this. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Huh. Did you hear what so-and-so did last week? They put these pictures up on Facebook, or they did this, or they went out with their friends, and their friends came back and told me they were all out drinking, or they were... You know what? Why are you rejoicing over this? Why are you even spreading it around? Maybe what you should be doing is on your knees weeping for that person. Amen. Maybe you've got a better chance of getting them back if you weep for them and just encourage them. Just a couple of weeks ago when I was preaching about the prodigal son and the older brother, I said this, that the older brother was keeping tabs on what the prodigal son was doing out there in the far country. And you know what? Instead of rejoicing that he was home, when he got back, he just threw stones at him. He threw rocks at him. You know what? If that brother might have heard the older brother in the weak, frail condition that he was in, he might have just said, they don't want me. I'm going back where I'm wanted, back out in the far country. Eating out of the pig pens better than this. You know I'm right. But rejoiceth in the truth. Rejoiceth in the truth. Charity looks for the positive. The other drawback of the way we've been trained by a sarcastic old German is we look for negative, 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 negative. We got to recondition our thinking. We need to look for the we know this world is going to hell in a handbasket, but can't we look for the positive? Can't we look for the person that when you talk to them about Jesus, there's a little tear in their eye? Maybe they didn't get saved, but maybe you got a hold of them a little bit just because you loved them a little bit, because you had a little charity on them. Amen. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity is tough. Charity's tough.
One of the harder things you ever have to do.
Yep. I heard a preacher say one thing. He said, loving people is what'll break you. Loving people is what'll... And you know what? It's true. I've stayed up all night weeping over people that I loved. Weeping over people that are away from God. Weeping over Christians that are going through troubles. As they've walked away and stabbed us in the back and said terrible things about our church, I've wept over them. Lord, why? But we've rejoiced when some of them came back. Yep. You know what we didn't do when they came back? We didn't hold a club over their head and say, well, you said this. Right. You know what happens usually? You let them come back a while and fool around underneath the preaching. The Lord will soften their heart and they'll make the things right that need to be made right. Right. A lot of times they don't need to get right with you. They need to get right with Him. Charity, watch this. Charity never faileth. It never, hey, it's not going to fail. But watch this one. Whether there be prophecies, they shall what? Fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. They have ceased. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Do you know how many people get in dementia these days? What's your knowledge going to do when you get dementia or Alzheimer's? What's all that knowledge going to do? It scares me to death. My grandma had dementia. That's when she died. She didn't know any of us. She cussed us out. My grandma wasn't a cusser. And she'd cuss everybody out at the end of her life when they came in the room. That scares me, man. It scares me. But I think of somebody like Miss Donovan when we were there in December. And we're singing, "What a Day That Will Be." And we're just standing around her bed there in the chronically ill hospital and singing that song. And when we got done singing, you know what she just started saying? "No sorrow there. No sorrow there. No sorrow there. No more burdens to bear." Something clicked in her mind, and she remembered something about Jesus. She may not have been able to tell you all the dispensations. She may not have been able to tell you about the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of heaven. She may not be able to tell you any of those Bible doctrines. But you know what she could tell you? There'll be no sorrow there.
Amen.
There'll be no sorrow. She remembered something. Her knowledge failed her, but she remembered something. Why? Because she was a charitable person. I like this, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." Now listen, this can be taken a lot of different ways. In time and place, the historical concept was, the context was, Paul, the complete canon of Scripture had not been written yet. The complete canon of Scripture, they saw in part. It wasn't all there yet. You know, the revelation came, and we as the church, and can I say this, because we've got a perfect Bible, we can see the whole thing. We can see the whole thing because it's come in fullness. "That which is in part shall be done away." You know what? You don't need the original manuscripts because you've got a full copy of the Bible. You can also take it this way. That one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come and he's going to reveal everything to us. Listen, there's things that we don't understand about that book. But one of these days, he's going to reveal it to us. One of these days, watch this. "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child." You know what? Children don't have a lot of charity toward each other. They don't. Yesterday, all the kids were at the house, it was Monday night. All the kids were at the house, I think Skylar had a toy, and Jackson just took it from her. Just took it from her, and she started whining about it and stuff like that, and she went and grabbed it back from him and made him start whining and all that stuff. And eventually what happened was the adults had to intervene. Say, why is that? Because kids don't have charity one for another. Kids are selfish. Yep. "When I was a child, I spake as a child, and I thought as a child." I thought as a child. Children, babes in Christ, don't have a whole lot of charity. "But when I became a man, I put away childish things." You know what I did in the context of charity? I learned to love people. I learned to love people. "For now we see through a glass darkly." Back to the thought. But then, face to face. What a day that's going to be. Amen. "We see through the glass darkly. Now I know in part. But then shall I know even as I'm known." You know what? We're going to know him like he knows us. We're going to know him like he knows us. "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity." That's the first three fruits of the Spirit. Faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is charity. You know what? The beginning of this chapter, he kind of trashed people that had no faith or had a bunch of faith but no charity. In the middle, he said, "Charity hopeth all things." And at the end, he said, "We got these three, faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of them is charity." Can I say this? Your faith won't be perfect unless you have charity. And your hope won't be perfect unless you have charity. Now I realize, none of our faith and none of our hope is perfect in the sense of the word, but perfect according to Christ and perfect according to us is different. And the Lord will accept who we are because he knows what we are. We're humans. And we're imperfect creatures because humanity made itself that way. But you got faith and hope without charity, and you're off balance. You got charity, and the whole thing comes to balance. You cannot have music without melody. You can have harmony and rhythm, but it's not music. It's not music until you add the melody. And so for those three parts, charity is the melody that makes the thing a song. Amen. That's what it is, folks. Charity. The greatest of these is charity. I haven't always been good at it. I've been bad at it quite a few times. I've failed miserably. But it's still the greatest. So what you do, you get back up and you keep trying to love people. But first, let me ask you this question, just to ponder before we leave. Do you really love the Lord? Do you really love the Lord? You remember what I said about charity in the very beginning of this whole thing? I said that charity is loving people because you love the Lord. If you don't love the Lord, you might have the emotion of love toward people. But you're not going to have a godly love toward people. Say, what is charity? It can be defined just like this. It's a godly love for others. That's what charity is. It's a godly love for others. Do you have it like you should? I know I don't. I know I need more. And if you're going to be honest in this room, you probably do too. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this short time that we've had, this short season of opening your word.